I've always known that.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Suds in the Squared Circle. I am Vinny. This is Christy. We're here with you today. Today is Monday, October 2nd, 2023. It's 9:45 p.m. Eastern time. So by the time it's released, it'll probably be Tuesday morning. But I want to thank you all for joining us. Thank you for watching on YouTube. Definitely go over and like the video, subscribe to the videos, as well as get notified anytime we post a new video. New episode of Squared Circle News will drop tomorrow, about Tuesday as well. Christy, how are you today?
I'm good. It's been a very busy day, you know, getting back to work on a Monday. It's been a Monday, but it's been a great productive Monday. It is the kickoff to my birthday month. My birthday is coming up on the 15th.
Okay.
So happy birthday to me. I come into work. My boss was out for 2 weeks, but she always brings me back little like gifts and stuff from like the sponsors of the classes that she teaches. She teaches to property management companies. Okay. And apartments. So I get I literally came and I had like a bunch of little gifts just waiting for me. I was like, this is a great start to my birthday. Like, I love it. I love my new job. Thank God I don't work for the corporate world anymore. Like that's rough, you know, especially in retail. I used to work for Target. Let me say, y'all, y'all better be nice to those Target workers out there, because
to work for Walmart,
they work harder. It's hard for them to put on a nice face and smile. Like, just trust me. Maybe some stores, it's okay, it's good, but my store, oh. So you be nice to those Target employees, okay? They don't get paid a whole lot. So,
nope, I get it. We didn't record last week. It was a very, very hectic week for me. I posted on Facebook and Instagram. My car was basically totaled from some idiot who decided to drive high on meth. And at least that's what it looked like. When she got out of the car, she looked like an extra from The Walking Dead. She, you know, she was arrested right on the scene, but, you know, I'm still waiting for the insurance company to take care of everything. So it was just a lot of stuff that I was going through last week. So we decided not to record. It was just too hectic of a week, plus my job schedule. So we just had a lot going on. Anyways, so we're back here today. We're going to be going over a lot of stuff that happened in Port Charles over the past week. This week, just a couple of programming notes for General Hospital. We're only getting three episodes this week, Monday, Thursday, and Friday. Apparently, Tuesday and Wednesday, ABC is going to be showing a part of the Major League Baseball playoffs, which is going to preempt General Hospital. Just another reason why it needs to go streaming only, whether it's Disney Plus or Hulu. They really should be on streaming services at this point. But anyways,
That's this week they're doing that?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, see, I didn't even know. See, this is why I come to record this podcast with Vinny, because I wasn't even up on all this news.
To be honest with you, I didn't even know until I was on Facebook and I saw somebody post that, you know, because today's episode, without spoiling anything, today's episode ended with a really good cliffhanger, and somebody said, oh, we're going to have to wait till Thursday. I'm like, well, there's still two other days of the week that we could watch. And they're like, nope.
I didn't see the end. I just watched the first few minutes, and I watched Bold and the Beautiful because I thought there was going to be Thomas and Hope scenes, but it was just the parent stuff, whatever. Anyway.
I'm not going to spoil anything about today's show, because that's not why we're here. I have to say, we're going to have to start right now with, I have to say, number one on the shit list of just about everybody in this country, Gladys Corbin. And her betrayal of Sasha to her face. Like, we've known she's a piece of garbage already throughout this entire storyline. But after Friday's episode and her calling the cops on Sasha as an escaped felon, that took the cake.
Yeah. He knows that she is essentially like giving money to this guy who's drugging Sasha to make her look psycho, right? Yeah. Like, she knows.
And we all thought that she was getting some kind of a conscience, because she was like, I wasn't expecting it to go that far, and this is not what I planned on. But then for her to call the cops on Sasha, just that took the cake. Like, I put a post on X, and I literally said, paraphrasing Tony Schiavone from 1996, a Bash at the Beach, Gladys Corbin, you can go straight to hell.
Oh, yeah. She's going to hell. Set the woman on fire. Put her in the lake of fire now. Like, my gosh. Like, that woman, she's driven me batty before, but this is like a new low for her. A new low. And I don't get it. Like, it's to the doctor, like, threaten her or blackmail her and say, if you don't call the cops on Sasha to get her back in Shady Brook, then I'm gonna XYZ. Like, I don't think there was that threat on the table. So she just did it because she doesn't care. Like, she just wants her money. Like, the whole thing is, she's really that much of a gold digger that she's willing to just not care about her son's, like, wife, you know, who's a widow now,
yep,
who also lost their child.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this woman has been through it. Like, Sasha just keeps going through it, and just Gladys just keeps throwing her to the dogs and that Shady Brook, so to speak. I mean, but like, it's terrible. Hard. And like, we know the doctor is evil and going after her and drugging her, you know, intentionally. And I just hate that even Dante just let it happen. And Dante's like, we'll get you out. And I was just like,
you know, and Dante and Cody and Sasha and Sam had a very good plan going forward. Had a plan, you know, to confront Gladys. And, you know, Cody turned himself in. Sasha went to Gladys' apartment. And that's where all hell broke loose. And unfortunately, honestly, I think Dante had his hands tied at that point, because of the fact that she was considered an escaped felon or a mental patient or whatever you want to call it. Because there really was no evidence that anybody, you know, that Gladys was doing anything. She kind of covered up her tracks. Although, after Sam had those pills tested that were found in Montague's coat or jacket or pants or clothes or whatever, they knew that it was the drug that was making Sasha high.
Well, they have the toxicology report, right? Sam got that from.
Yeah.
So shouldn't that be evidence enough that this guy is mistreating Sasha?
Absolutely. And not to mention, it's funny because you look at how that all came about. Willow's back on her first day and she's already breaking the rules for Sasha.
Wow. Willow doing on the down low on her first day back. My gosh, she must like really be willing to, you know, do that. But I think she really cares about Sasha.
Of course she does. Yeah.
You know, she's friends enough with Sam to do that. So thankfully no one, you know, saw her, and hopefully, you know, she's never going to like get caught or anything. But I mean, that's definitely breaking some, I was thinking, dang, that's breaking some HIPAA laws, right? Yes. That's definitely breaking the law right there. Like, she'd lose her license and everything.
Oh, I agree completely. She could. But either way, it's amazing to me how this storyline is going. Like, this storyline, and even in the post that I put up, I commended Bonnie Burrows and Sophia Mattson for that scene, because it tugged at your heartstrings. Like, that's the story in itself. It's just affecting the emotions of the people watching it. You're getting emotionally behind these characters. And that is what I absolutely love about the, about this storyline in particular.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely tugging at the heartstrings, and the whole Cody and Sasha, like, you know, growing love story of it all. It was, is very touching. And now she knows that he's there for her, and he's like, kind of like her knight in shining armor, so to speak, if you want to put it that way. And Dante and Sam are like backing him up. So yeah, she knows like he's someone that she can trust. So he's shown that he is a good guy in that respect. And he's not like, he's not there for a payday like Gladys, right, obviously. So, I mean, that's good. And he's, you know, earned some points. And I just, I don't know. Like, what are they going to do to get this poor girl out of Shadybrook again? Like, it, like, I don't think Cody's going to be able to bust up in there again, is he? I mean, jeez.
No, but I think, I don't know. I think they have a plan, honestly. I think Dante is going to keep an eye on Sasha, to the point where something has to give, and they have to, they almost have to put a do not allow this doctor to treat Sasha. Like, I get that Montague is the doctor of record for Sasha at this point, but with everything that happened, they have to keep him away from her.
Well, first of all, he needs to get fired and get his like medical license thrown out.
Exactly. Like, yep.
Real, like right away. He needs to get arrested, and so does Gladys for that matter, because like both of them, like need to be thrown in the lake of fire together. In those two,
those two. Which, honestly, speaking of Dr. Montague, the actor Darren Tunder, the girls over at Pier 54 had part one of their interview with him posted this past Thursday on their Port Charles 411. So part two will probably be out this Thursday. So go check that out. Pier 54, a General Hospital fan podcast. Their chat with Darren Tunder, who plays Dr. Montague. It was actually a fantastic interview. That's why there's going to be two parts. So I just wanted to kind of give a brief plug to them as well. Download that wherever you find your favorite podcasts. But either way, I got to say, the good part about all this is now Nina came clean to Sonny. So Sonny is now going to be involved, and Gladys may be sleeping with the fishes, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. You think Sonny's gonna...
I have a feel like, I get that Sonny's all about family, but he also considers Sasha family as well. So the fact that, and he put up with so much of the gambling shit from Mike, that he understands now, and he sees Gladys being, I think, worse than Mike, because now she's stealing from Sasha. And she's, and to be honest with you, it's going to be a federal, it's going to be a crime either way, because as a conservator, guardian, whatever you want to call it, she has to account for all the money that she spends out of Sasha's accounts. So the fact that she's using the money to pay gambling debts is not going to look good in the face of the court. So whether it's by legal means or not so legal means, Gladys is going to get hers.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, the justice system in Port Charles is not always brought justice, right? So, I mean, if anyone's going to bring justice, you know, Sonny's going to take matters into his own hands for sure. I can definitely see that happening.
And it's amazing. You know, I was talking to somebody, how crazy is it that in Port Charles, you look at a mobster and he's probably the biggest baby face on the canvas there. The big, you know, the mobster is the biggest good guy on the in the city.
Mobster with the heart of gold, I guess, like Jason Morgan.
Yes, exactly. All right. Let's take a break here. We're going to move on. Anything else about the Sasha Cody storyline that you want to input before we move on?
I mean, no, but God help that girl. Like, my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, I literally wanted to, like, go in there myself and start, like, knocking people sideways to get her out of Shady Brook by Friday, because I was like, how dare you get her thrown back into Shady Brook? Like, yeah. I just can't. I just, my heart breaks for Sasha right now.
Ferncliff. Like, she got thrown back into Ferncliff.
Ferncliff. Sorry, not Shady Brook. It's like the same. Seems like similar. Right? So similar place, the same
well, basic. Shady Brook is the light sentence prison, or the not the one for the criminally insane, or whatever, something like to that effect. Minimum security. There we go. That's Shady Brook is, or no, that's Spring Ridge. I can't keep them.
Yeah, it's hard to keep them straight, isn't it? Yeah,
it is. Well, yeah. Anyways, all right. We're gonna take a break. We're gonna. If you're watching this on one of the short episodes, feel free to click on one of the other links that you're going to see pop up for the next clips of the show or the full show. But either way, thank you for watching for this for Suds in the Squirt Circle. This is Suds News. Squirt Circle news will be out tomorrow, but we're going to go to our next clip in just a minute. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to this next clip of Suds in the Squirt Circle, Suds News. This we're going to be talking about our one of the Port Charles's highly established couples at this point, Sonny and Nina, as some people call them, Sona, which I still don't. I hate the mashup names. I'm sorry.
Of them are okay. Some of them not so great.
I don't know. I explained it when I was interviewed on Pier 54. I never liked the mashup names because I just feel like you lose your identity that way, and I just never got into it. Maybe that's just how my brain works.
I used to have better names back in the day for couples, like on TV shows, like TV teen dramas that I watched back in the late 90s, early 2000s. They didn't really do mashup names back then. They called it something else that was kind of based off of the story of that particular couple. So, for example, like Max and Liz from the show Roswell that I'm like really into, right? It's like the teenager. They were called, the shippers of Max and Liz were called Dreamers, because the whole premise for that couple is Max says that Liz was his dream girl. So
that makes sense. Well, like Robin and Patrick were called Scrubs because they're both doctors.
Right.
So exactly. I get that. I just never liked the match. Like even when they came up with Brangelina back in the day, like that was just so stupid. I don't know. Maybe I'm like the old man yelling at the clouds at this point.
Scrubs, by the way. I was a Patrick and Robin fan. They were great. I love the rendezvous in the closet in the hospital.
Yeah, I liked Robin and Patrick too. I kind of wish Billy Miller, Jason Thompson wasn't on YNR. I wish he would come back to GH. But either way. So moving on, as I said, to Sonny and Nina. We saw that Nina did come clean to Sonny about Gladys this past week. And we also saw how Nina's kind of feeling she's feeling a lot of guilt about going to the SEC over Drew and Carly, especially because Drew got jumped in prison and beaten down while he was in the shower.
Poor guy getting jumped while he's naked in the shower.
Yeah, he literally got his ass beat. But ultimately, Nina is just all over the place. But you know what? I mean, Carly coming in there and accusing Ava of setting up Drew getting beat up, that was classic. That was classic Carly jumping to conclusions without any proof. And just taking out her frustrations and anger on somebody that doesn't deserve it.
Carly versus Ava is a really good step, though. When you do it, when you put it, like, whatever fight it is, whatever argument, whatever conflict it is, That's just good soap, because you're putting two powerhouse actresses in a room and like letting the magic happen. I mean, come on. Laura Wright.
Oh, yeah. And
Maura West.
Yeah.
Like, my gosh, those two are powerhouse women. Yep. And they're amazing at what they do. And I don't even care what the conflict is. Just to have them in a room and have them battle it out over whatever. Those charged moments of intensity. And if it turns into a cat fight or just a heavy, you know, intense argument. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Yes, I agree. They're definitely two of the best to do it. Best in the business, I should say. But Sonny kind of proposed something to Nina about eloping, you know, to get away from it all and just go down to the island and get married and not worry about all the wedding planning that was going on. That Nina falling asleep with all the magazines open and, you know, getting set. And I don't know, is that something that's going to actually happen? Do you think that they're actually going to be able to go through with it, or do you think something else is going to happen going forward? Do you think that they're actually going to make it to the island?
They might not. I mean, somebody might get a call about Sasha or something to, you know, be like, oh, sorry, we can't do it, you know? So, I mean, it either or mob business, whatever, someone piping, whatever. I don't know. So, it could happen, or they could make it to the island and they could elope. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of the couple, but either way, I mean, I said this, I finally came out of my little Twitter hole on Liaison Radio the other day. And I said, you know what, Sonny, you don't know this now, but Nina is your next divorce. And I hate to say that, but I'm sorry. I think it's true. I think he's going to, if he gets to marry her, which I think he will, I think inevitably it will happen just for drama reasons, so that when the SEC stuff comes out, it'll be like a really more complicated issue, right? More serious issue, because now he's married to the person who like betrayed his trust and like got his ex-wife, you know, love of his life, I would say, you know, into a legal predicament. So I will say that I don't see the whole Sonny and Nina thing lasting. So whether they or not.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to last either.
Once a couple starts talking about marriage, that's usually like, all right. Right.
I'm not a huge Nina fan either. To me, she just comes off as very, very whiny, very, playing the victim mentality all the time. You know, yes, she started to take some account or admit when she's been wrong, but she's never actually taken accountability for being wrong. She's been the person there that, I just don't understand the dynamic of Sonny and Nina right now. I know that Nina's trying to still love Sonny when he was Mike over a year ago, almost 2 years ago at this point. And I still feel like there's going to be something that's going to happen that Nina's finally going to be like, you know, enough. She says that she accepts Sonny as he is, but I don't think that that's actually going to be her end game. I really don't.
I think she's in denial of all the that Sonny is and Sonny does.
Yes.
Like, desperate work and who Sonny actually is as a person versus who he is as Mike.
Right. And I think that's the unfortunate truth to the matter. But, you know, roping into this entire storyline, because, you know, Sonny's actually in many different storylines right now. He's trying to help protect Anna from, you know, the whatever's trying to harm her, because that's still unresolved. We know that Charlotte is the one that supposedly went into Anna's room and, you know, sprayed the ink all over the room and wrote on the mirror. That's what we think is going to happen. They want us to think that because, you know, Charlotte was the one that went, that was shown going into Nina's room. Then we see Charlotte with the tarot cards, and it, you know, tarot cards being, you know, kind of shows a negative, negative idea of tarot, which is not always negative. It's not Satan worship or any of that kind of stuff. It's just a, I don't know. In my opinion, a lot of people live by it. I feel it's for entertainment purposes, but either way, the fact is that could those tarot cards, because they were a gift from Uncle Victor, could they be messing with any kind of brainwashing now on Charlotte? I know, I just kind of went all the way around the building.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to comment on a couple things, because we're made to believe Charlotte was the one who broke into Anna's room and possibly wrote that stuff on the mirror and did all of that crazy shenanigan stuff to the room. But I almost feel like maybe she was either set up to look like she did it,
mm-hmm.
or she was brainwashed to do it.
Yeah. I feel like it's a possibility that it's that she was brainwashed or under some type of control. Although without Victor or anybody to say the activation word, I don't know where that's coming from, unless they're going to do some kind of a DID storyline or, you know, multiple personalities. It again, being the spawn of Helena, it's a possibility, or in Helena's family bloodline. I honestly don't know where that's going and why they're putting Charlotte. I mean, don't get me wrong, Scarlett Fernandez, who plays Charlotte, is a fantastic actor at her age, and she's doing a great job. Mm-hmm. But I don't know why they're going there.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure either, but I kind of like that Charlotte is back, because we haven't really seen Valentine share scenes with her in quite a while. And it gives the whole element of she's dating Jake. Why is she dating Jake? Is there an ulterior motive? Like,
remember
on him. Like, is this just a sweet innocent thing with Jake? Like, it's just curious. Like, I almost find it suspicious now.
Well, remember when Jake came back from Cassadine Island? He was brainwashed by Helena, and it was with that magic set. You know, he was the one that was supposed to set up that Chimera project and set that off and put that into the world, or whatever was going to happen there during the nurse's ball that year. So it maybe Jake, you know, because we never really got to see Jake talk to Elizabeth that much on, you know, last week. He talked to Finn about his feelings for Charlotte and how he likes her and all this. Which, I don't know, it was kind of a letdown to me. I would have rather seen him talk to Elizabeth about that, not some guy who's
just, I don't like there, that.
You know?
No, yeah, I don't like that, because they're setting Finn up to be like this father figure in Jake's life, in her boy's life. You know, like all of her boys are pretty much set up for Finn to be this father figure. And I don't like it. It's way too soon. Finn and Liz haven't really been seriously dating for that long at all. They just had a little like rendezvous in the shower, and I'm just going to say all they did was make out. I'm not to believe anything else happened. Okay. No,
she was dressed the whole time.
She was dressed the whole time. And then Amy had to be all like, oh, you both have what hair? I'm like, none of your freaking business. Who cares? Don't bother.
That was the worst person to see that. Because Amy's the biggest gossip in the hospital.
Yeah, I'm sure they did it on purpose just to annoy us.
Of course.
But anyway, I mean, I do want to see where this whole like Jane Charlotte thing goes, and I think it could be possible that she's brainwashed because Jake brainwashed. And why doesn't Jake talk more to his mom about stuff? Like, he comes there to talk to her, and she's like, oh, I'm busy. Like, I have a few minutes for you. But then he ends up going off with Finn. And I'm like, no, this is just poor excuse for, like, making Finn the father figure in his life because, oh, the mom's too busy working. Well, now we see her working.
Yeah.
Before, it was like, there was like 2 weeks where I was like, where's Elizabeth working as head nurse?
Yeah. Well, you remember how hard Franco had to work to gain Cam's trust? Like, I would have liked to see Finn have to work at least half that hard to earn Jake's trust. I mean, now granted, Finn and Franco are two completely different characters, but, you know, in my opinion, Franco was a much better match for Elizabeth, and they should have never killed off that character.
Yeah, he could stay dead. I'm okay with Franco staying. I'm okay with it. You and me differ on that. He could stay dead.
But I, you know, I don't like, I don't know. As a guy, as a teenage guy, I was, even though my parents were divorced, I was always closer to my mother. So I would always go to her for any kind of talk. Yet at the same time, I understand how a teenage boy feels and may not want to go to his mother about certain topics. So either way, it makes sense one way or the other. But I still didn't like it. I still think that, you know, he should have either had that scene with, he should have that scene with Elizabeth. And end of story.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't have to write it like that. That she was so busy, she didn't even have time for his son to like pour his heart out on how he was feeling, because he did mention, oh, well, then my dad died, and then this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and this is why this is going on. It's like, he should have, that scene would have been so much more emotional and impactful.
Yes.
It was with his mom, Elizabeth, which is really what people want to see. Nobody really wants to see him pour out his heart to his mother's new boyfriend. Like, that's,
I agree.
It's not hitting.
No,
I
completely agree with you. And it's not even, I guess they look at Finn as a trusted male figure in his life. Because, you know, he did go camping with that, you know, they did all go camping together when they went to the Cub Scout style, you know, camping trip. And, you know, that was, you know, according to sourcing, maybe, you know, 10 years ago. But no, maybe about five. But either way, it's like, you know, they went on that camping trip as a family unit. But I still don't, I don't know. Maybe we're spending too much time even trying to understand.
Yeah, no, it's too much. It's one camping trip does not equal, like, oh, bonding for life with my new father.
Right, exactly. Exactly. But I am anxious to see where the Jake and Charlotte connection is going. Mm-hmm. You know, could Jake recognize the signs that Charlotte is being brainwashed? Could Jake go to Valentine, or could Jake go to, you know, well, can't go to Drew because Drew's in jail, or, well, in the hospital right now, but can't go to Jason because Jason is presumed dead. Although on the front, I've heard that he has stopped, that his filming commitments to Days has ended. So if he were to return, it is a possibility that it could be in the near future. I don't know.
Well, they'll have to change their, like, COVID rules and stuff.
Well, they already did. Disney dropped the mandate. That's why Charlotte is back. She left because of the vaccine mandate.
Okay.
Disney dropped the vaccine mandate. So, you know, Steve Burton can return. And like I said, as far as I've heard, he wrapped up his commitments with Days. So I don't know if or when he'll re-sign with General Hospital, but that would be good. That would be good. That would be, you know, it would be great for him to come back at the right time to save Charlotte and Jake. from whatever Helena or Victor has in store for that duo.
Okay, now that we're on this topic and we moved on to mentioning Jason, which is kind of a hot button issue for me, and I may say something that's an unpopular opinion. I don't know if I want Jason back.
Really?
And I will explain why. I don't feel like he is, this is a lot of bias coming from the fact that I'm a liaison fan, so keep that in mind. Mm. Big Jason Elizabeth fan. I don't feel, if the point to bring him back is just to like make him Sonny's right hand man again, have him go back to the mob life, do that whole thing, and just, and if he's not there to reconnect with his son Jake and be in be potential Jake and Charlotte brainwashing storyline, if that's what's going on, and if it's not to continue his friendship / co-parenting relationship with Elizabeth and actually have that be like a consistent thing, yeah, and not like, oh, every 3 to 6 months we'll throw you a bone and just show you that, right, that yeah, 8 months, you know, because that's how they treated it. I don't appreciate it. And I just think I want Jason back if they're not going to have consistent Jason Elizabeth scenes. And I know that probably makes me sound incredibly selfish and self-righteous or whatever you want to call me. But I just don't, I don't think I want it. Like I want Jason back if they consistently say, hey, even if we don't have Jason and Elizabeth be in a romantic relationship ever again, that ship has sailed, whatever. And I'm pretty sure it has. Trust me. And they're the reality that it probably has, and it probably will never again. But I still want them to be true to the history of Jason and Elizabeth, because they were friends first, okay, for a long time, even though there was always that tension, like, we like each other more than friends, but we can't be more than friends because of XYZ. Like, I want that to be honored, that they were friends and that they are co-parents and they share a child together, and that they should have like family outings once in a while. And I would just like it. But if I don't, I just feel like if I don't really get Jason and Elizabeth scenes on the regular and they're not going to honor that and they're just going to throw him back with some random person on screen to be his love interest and him working back to be, you know, in the mob with Sonny and just do the same thing all over again and try to throw him with Sam again, which they inevitably, okay. I don't think I'm there for it personally. So that's just me. That's just me and my own kind of like crazy take, crazy hot take on it. So take it or leave it.
I get it, and I can appreciate that. My thought process is this. Where's the money? And the reason why I say that is Steve Burton, Jason being a, you know, legacy character on General Hospital. Yes, you always want to see him around. Yes, you always want to see him as Sonny's right-hand man. And, you know, but the thing is like, where do you go with it? Like, when he ended his run, yes, he had a storyline going with Britt. I liked the pairing of Jason and Britt. I really thought they had good chemistry, and I felt like it was a great match when Sam was out of the picture, because, you know, Sam didn't want to have anything to do with the mob life as a mother. I get that. And I thought that Jason and Britt were good together. You know, with that said, now that Britt's gone, you know, Sam inevitably moved on with Dante. Yes, there's going to be some kind of drama with Lulu potentially waking up in the next, I would say, few months from rumor and innuendo. But excuse me. But where do you go with Jason? Where do you take him?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, they have to do something different, because if they're just going to do what they've done before, throw him back with Sam, have him back as Sonny's right-hand man, that's not anything different. right. on what they've done before. Like, it's just not, they need to mix it up. They need to mix up his character. They're going to do something different and bring him back again. And I think maybe he should come back and be like, you know what? I've done the mob life a really long time, and I think I'm not going to do it anymore. Like, I think that would be interesting if he came back and said, you know what, Sonny, I'll always love you, and I always will appreciate, you know, working for you, but I see myself going in another direction. You know, like, yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the biggest problem with Steve Burton on Days. He's kind of like a sore thumb. He sticks out like he's literally Jason with a different name. And they've got him paired up with Carly with a different name.
Why do they do this? Why do they do this on soaps where they throw the same actor who's known, very well known for another role in another soap, they throw him on a different soap and they go, okay, you're going to be the same character you were on this other soap, but we're going to give you a different name.
I never watched Y&R when Steve Burton's on there, so I can't comment about his character of Dylan.
That was a little bit different. I watched a little bit. It was different, it was different, but it wasn't exactly Jason Morgan, but I couldn't watch enough of it to really tell you what the whole storyline was, but it was still like weird for me because I was used to him as Jason, but it was a different character from Jason. Well,
yeah, because the character of Harris Michaels on Days is basically Jason with the difference of he's got a background as a Navy SEAL, you know, he was brainwashed, so he had to get, you know, he had to be deprogrammed, you know, and now he's on the run with Tamara Braun's character of Ava Vitale, who, excuse me, I'm so sorry, who played Carly, you know, so...
I've seen the promos of like, oh, are they going to get together now? Like, I'm just like, oh, God. Days, come on. Like, it's lazy writing on their part, to be quite honest.
Lazy booking, yes.
And they try to do it to Brendan, not Brendan, I'm sure.
One second.
Brash, you know, who plays...
Hang on 1 second. I'm going to pause for a second. Okay, you were saying about Brandon Barash.
Yes, so Brandon Barash, very well known for playing Johnny on PH, right?
Yeah.
So they bring him over to Days and essentially wanted him to be Johnny, but with a different name of being a Demara on Days. And he had this interview and he said, no, I'm not going to do that. You got to make him a little bit like different. Like you can't. Like do that because then I'm basically just playing the character I did on GH. Yep. And he said something to the writers about it. I don't know why Steve can't do the same thing. I mean,
he just took it for the job, honestly. I really do. Not that he necessarily needs the money, but you know, I mean, honestly, I think he just took it for the job. Because you know, yeah, exactly, for the paycheck. Because honestly, his character is a square peg in a round hole. There's no there really is no creativity to the storyline. I mean, he's off, you know, he hasn't really mingled in Salem other than maybe a week or two. Being, you know, and during that time he was trying to stay out of being programmed by Megan Hathaway, and then he ended up getting programmed by her again. And it's the same thing. And it's not working for me, brother. It's just not working for me.
Yeah, no, it's not.
So if Jason was to come back to General Hospital, you have to look at it and be like, where do you go with it? You know, what's the payoff? What is that? What is that story going to be like, and where do you go with the character?
Maybe change up his wardrobe a little bit instead of black t-shirts and leather jackets. Just saying.
Right. have him become the new the new fitness instructor of Volanino's. all right. So we haven't stopped to separate segments. This has been one run-on segment. We're going to just keep on going. But I do want to point out, if you haven't yet, click the like button. subscribe, get notified anytime you see a post from Suds in the Squirt Circle. Like I said, Squirt Circle news will be out tomorrow as well. And definitely stay tuned to that. There's a lot going on in the wrestling world. We had NXT No Mercy this past weekend. We also had AEW Wrestle Dream. I didn't even get a chance to go over the entire list of WWE releases from last week after the UFC merger and into the TKO group. So it's been a while. So definitely stay tuned for Squared Circle news coming out tomorrow as well. And there's going to be much more coming on this channel, this YouTube channel going forward. So definitely stay tuned. All right. And like I said, click that like button, subscribe, get notified. Moving on, let's go ahead and let's kind of bring it up now that the part of the show that the fans of the Sabrina Nation, they rejoiced. There was finally a love scene between Spencer Cassidine and Trina Robinson. And I'm telling you, the payoff was there.
Oh, yeah. Hashtag Sabrina in NYC. I saw it. I was peeping on Twitter. I saw all the hashtags, guys. Yeah. I mean, I would say they finally fed the fandom after, like, starvation for months. It was like, oh, we're just going to, like, cock block them for months on end with this baby nonsense.
And Lord, to be honest with you, when they were in the room and the there was a knock at the door, I thought it was going to be Esme and said it was room service with champagne.
Oh, man. You know the fans would have, like, been picketing the studio. So, like, oh, that would have been so bad. No, but I'm glad she let them, like, I mean, obviously she's all, like, disappointed. She's like, oh, well, they're going to New York. Like, come on. Y'all know what they're going to New York for, okay? No. They ain't going to New York to see the sights. They're going to New York to get some alone time. They can finally do it.
Yes, exactly. But the a lot of the fans did bring up the continuity issue, the fact that they're both under 21 and they got champagne, number one. Number two, you also can't check into a hotel room when you're under 21. So
can if you're a Nicholas Cassidine.
That's true. If you're a Cassidine, I guess that makes sense. Cassidine
family, I think the rules don't apply. I would assume that was the case.
That's true. Yeah. But either way, yeah, being able to order champagne was, I mean, unless it was sparkling cider, they didn't specify whether it was champagne or sparkling cider, but that was a little bit of a continuity issue, unless they really both have aged to 21, which I guess could potentially be accurate, but
who maybe they did a Sora. I don't know. Who knows? Anyways, the point is Spencer and Trina finally did it, and it was beautiful. It was a gorgeous love scene. They even got their own little song in there. It was nice done. I mean, they did all of the cliche things they do in love scenes. You ever notice this with every General Hospital love scene? They always have, like, the same moves. There's the lift. There's the he's behind her removing her dress and she steps out of it, you know, moment. There's always that in almost every big montage love scene on GH. It's like the same little things. Okay. Yep. So I just, something I noticed. But I mean, those moments are lovely. They're lovely to see because Spencer and Trina, this was a very long time coming. And I said this before, I'm telling you, if Spencer did not do his due diligence to make her pleasure the first priority, he needs to take some class or something. But no, I think she seemed pretty well satisfied. So it looked good to me. I was happy for the Spring fans. And I mean, I'm what they call a, I don't know what you call this anymore. I used to have friends who would say, well, that's a high level Sabrina. It's like a low level Sabrina. Like a casual. I don't know. I'm like a, I guess I'm kind of like in between. I'm sort of casual, sort of not so casual. I mean, I made a Sabrina video for some, a fan once upon a time. And now at this point, I feel like I need to make an update, but there's some really good ones out there, actually. I follow this. She's one of my favorite vidders, created Void X, I think is her name on YouTube. She just put out like 3 Sabrina videos I saw on YouTube. I'm like, oh, dang, I'm going to watch these later. I bet these will be good. So I love that Spencer and Trina finally got their lovely love scene in their thing in New York. And when they went to dinner, even before they went to dinner, she was in a robe looking at him with like sex eyes. I was like, honey, she does not want to go to dinner. She is ready for dinner right now. Like, come on. Like, we don't have to go to dinner. Like, we can skip dinner. We'll order room service later. Like, no. Like, the way she was looking at him, it was good. It was good. They had all the sex eyes going on, the eye sex. They had the music. They had the love scene. It was good. It was really good. And I'm very happy for Sabrina Nation, even Sabrina fans. It was all around a really good week. And I wish it was like that every week for Sabrina, but we will see where it goes from here. Cause I'm really curious to know now that they've done it. And when they come back from New York City, is it going to be like back to the baby mess?
Grind. Yeah.
Ignoring her basically in their relationship. Like, I hope now that they've done it, he like actually makes her a priority and is like, hey, I'm going to do this baby thing on like Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then you got to deal with it the rest of the time. Cause I'm going to be with my girlfriend, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. Although you gotta love social media, because they, you know, they have the sex scene and everything. And then of course you've got the people that have to come back with, well, you know, they never discuss birth control and they never discuss protection and everything. And it's like, we don't want a pregnancy storyline out of this.
No.
So it's, you know, put that the farthest out of your mind. They had a great love scene and let's just leave it there. Let's hope that yes. does go ahead and get, you know, that gets the relationship going in a good direction where it's not being held back by numerous different outside forces. So let's hope that, you know, they could have a united front against Portia and Esme, and they could put them both in their place, because it does look like Portia is on Team Esme at this point, because, you know, when Esme is like, you know, we had good parenting classes together, and Portia's all for it. She's pushing Esme to, you know, get in the way of Spencer and Trina. And at this point in time, I just don't want, I want Portia to mind her own business. And for, you know, for Portia, who, there's just some continuity, there's just some problem that I have with Portia being so nice and generous and kind and forgiving to Esme when Esme put Trina through hell last year, especially framing her for that revenge porn video. Like, I get it. Amnesia. That's the be-all, end-all there. Amnesia. I get it. But at the same time, it's just...
It doesn't work, because the whole amnesia excuse is essentially what they did with Franco and the whole, oh, he has a brain tumor, so let's just forget every bad thing he ever did. I'm like, no. It's not how it works.
No. Well, understandable for a brain tumor, you know, in soap land. But the fact of, and again, he, you know, being held accountable, you should be held accountable. You know, I don't agree with Esme. Just, I don't agree. Like, I could see Carly being the bigger person at Kelly's, but again, I don't know. Like, you would think that they would have more grudges against Esme, you know, because it's just the girl recorded you know, Cam and Joss having sex, and then put it out to the entire school and blamed, you know, and put the blame on Trina. But yet the mother of the two girls that were big or were affected had basically forgotten all about it. I haven't seen Elizabeth react to Esme that much, other than treating her because she was being held captive in Nicholas's castle. That I can understand. Elizabeth is a nurse. She realized that Esme was in a bad spot because Nicholas was holding her against her will. That I can understand. And she was worried about the baby. I get that. But now that the baby's out, where is the accountability? Where is the, no, I'm not helping you. You did this to my daughter. Or my son, in Cam's case.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really difficult because it's like we're supposed to believe that Esme is this whole new person, so like all is forgiven because she has amnesia, like a brand new Esme.
I mean, it's almost a contradiction, and I can't believe I'm actually going to say this. I'm actually on Alexis's side in the whole thing with Esme by saying just because you don't remember what you did, you have to ever, you know, you did do these things. Just because you don't remember, they're still there. You have to own up to them. But when the parents of the victims aren't holding you accountable, they're not saying, hey, you know, you bitch, you did this. There's nothing for me to get invested in. There's just no psychology to it. Nothing. Nothing. It's like watching AEW. When it comes, and I know that, you know, some of you don't know, but it's like watching an episode of AEW Dynamite where there's no psychology to it. And I just can't, that pisses me off. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, rightfully so, because the whole Esme situation is just kind of a mess, honestly. Like, they needed to either have this amnesia thing last maybe a month, 2 months.
Yeah.
Thing happened, she goes back to the way she was, because now it seems like it's gone on so long where, okay, so now we're supposed to believe that she really truly doesn't remember. But I think there's little hints they dropped of her old ways, because she's obviously trying to manipulate Spencer into spending more time with her,
right?
Because of the baby. So there is like little bits of her old self still there that are themselves known. But she's not like full blown crazy Esme who set Ava's car on fire and, you know, almost got prison and all these crazy things. So it's hard because like these characters around her are like, oh, well, yeah, she did this, but she doesn't remember and she has this amnesia. And it seems like she's trying to really be a good mom. So we'll just give her like a get out of jail free card. Thing.
Yeah, it doesn't work. I've been very complimentary of the FICOR writers. They've been doing a great job when it comes to pacing. They've been doing a great job when it comes to moving storylines along and really putting things together. But I just feel like this storyline is kind of a continuation of where the regular writers ended, and it just doesn't work. It just does not work. Speaking of which, the writer strike is over. So they've reached a contract with the production company. So the regular writers of General Hospital will be back. I hope, fingers crossed, that a lot of this writing continues the faster paced stories. But I want, especially in this storyline with this one character, I want that psychology. I want Esme to feel like, I want her to feel like she did something majorly wrong, and it's just not there because she's not being held accountable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like the writing. for sure. And I want Esme to be held accountable, but I'm not holding my breath because GH is known for just dropping the ball on so much. So, but I do hope the fast-paced writing keeps up because GH has a tendency to drag things out an unnecessary amount of time. And I know it's a soap and we tend to do that anyway because it's 5 days a week, but it's just, there's only so much juice you can get out of a storyline before it's out of juice. So
you're right. Well, I mean, everything evolves. You know, you have to have the faster paced storylines, you know, and right again, relating it back to wrestling, when you're looking at, like, you know, the storylines that were big in the 80s and the 90s, you know, the Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage, that entire storyline between WrestleMania 4 and 5 was a complete year of story. And then you had, then you went ahead and paid it off at WrestleMania 5. You can't do that anymore. I understand that, you know, but looking at today's wrestling and you have the Bloodline storyline with Roman Reigns, you go ahead and you've had this storyline going on for 3+ years now at this point, and it's still fresh. It's still the top drawing storyline in WWE currently. Roman Reigns had the world championship now for over 1,000 days, which has been unheard of in modern times. So if the writing is good or the booking is good, you can have long-term storytelling. And it's been proven. And I think the General Hospital fans or soap fans, they need, there needs to be have meaning. You can't have storylines that just go back, 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 bam, 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 bam. But you also can't have these long storylines unless there are certain beats to the story that you get new information or a new character comes in, or you could have a good storyline that's overlapping, you know, an umbrella storyline, but you have to have these little pieces that make it up as you go along.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's missing with the regular writing. All right. I've gone off on my high horse quite a bit today. About a couple of different topics. What else do we have to really go over? I mean, Eddie Main sang at the Savoy. You know, great song, great, you know, performance. We saw Blaze come back. I was excited about that. I absolutely adore that character. And she signed with BLQ as having her as her new manager. And under the L&B Records label. How about the major flirtation between Christina and Blaze, who I'm starting to call Craze, with that?
Oh, that was flirtation?
I thought so.
I don't know. I guess I didn't pick up on that. I thought they were just being friendly. I don't know. I don't have good gaydar. Like, I've been talking about gaydar, so... I had a friend in high school. He's my best friend. He's still my best childhood friend. And I did not know that dude was gay, like, because we dated, like, you know, and I had no idea until like a year after we graduated high school. So my gaydar is like off. I say off. Like, I usually am not good with it. So, but anyway, then, I mean, that would be interesting. Sure. I mean, she's opening up this new LGBTQIA center. She could probably get Blaze to put on a opening performance or something, right?
Absolutely.
So sure. I mean, sure. I mean, that's great. I'm cool with that if they want to go in that direction. Probably because, you know, Blaze is so traumatized from
Link.
What Link did to her.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he probably potentially forced himself on her for all we know. She may not trust men, you know, at all. So it
that's
would
her case.
Want a woman.
Seems to be the most trustworthy guy on in Port Charles right now.
Who? Wait. Chase. Oh, Chase. Yeah. Chase is so yummy. Chase is so yummy. Don't get me started. Oh, Josh Swickard, I love you. I want to meet you one day so bad. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm cool with the Blaze Christina thing. I'm glad that she signed with BLQ, that BLQ is starting that business for herself. And I'm very happy with that. And I think she will treat Blaze well. And I look forward to seeing a continuance of that happening. And I just love that Chase has been by BLQ's side and been supporting her throughout this whole time. And I see great things for them, like marriage and kids. They'll get there. They're going to take the GH is going to take its sweet time with them, but they'll get there. I'm excited for what's to come. Now, as far as the Eddie Main stuff, I'm more interested in how they're going to have the Olivia and Eddie/Ned love progress there, because they've been having very charged moments, and Olivia is very concerned that she's going to cheat on her husband by being with Eddie Main.
That cracked me up, though.
Purposes. That
cracked me up, though.
Yeah.
Like, the way, I think, who was she talking to? Was it Brooklyn?
Yeah, she, like, had a moment with Eddie Main.
Yeah.
Her husband, Eddie Main. And she confided in Brooklyn, which I'm very excited that they did that. That was, she confided, and they had that little, like, stepmother-daughter, like, friend moment, you know, there. And yeah, she confided in her and said, oh my gosh. And then Brooklyn was like, well, that's like your husband though, like, yeah, really, you're not technically cheating, like, that's your husband. So
however, Lois is coming back. Rena Sofer signed on, she'll be back, I believe, this week or next week. She'll be, you know, she'll be back on our TVs. I've never been introduced to the Lois character, so I never saw any of Lois and Ned. So I don't know about, other than the Port Charles 411 from the Pair 54 girls, I know nothing about Lois, so I'm excited to see that.
I think there's a playlist I have saved on YouTube. I haven't watched it yet, but I've seen a little bit, bits and pieces of clips. And there's a whole Lois and Eddie Main, like, from the 90s, playlist on YouTube that you can look up and do your due diligence and research if you would like to before the return of Lois. And I think it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful thing, because from the clips I've seen, they have a really great dynamic, and I'm interested in seeing what that will bring to the table with, you know, Olivia and Ned/Eddie Main. And I'm still thinking that Olivia needs to give Eddie a true love's kiss and wake him up as Ned.
I agree. I think that I mean, who knows? That may be it. Why, you know, that may be it to get it.
They need the Disney thing. Just pull out the Disney cliches. Let's just do it. ABC is owned by Disney anyway. So
exactly. let's see, what else could we possibly go over? Not really too sure.
Well, we already touched on the fact that I almost vomited when Finn and Liz were in the shower. Yeah. I rewatched that last night and I was like, I gotta skip past this part. I can't. I literally know what's happening. I gotta look away. I can't do it. Can't do it to myself.
Although one thing I need to ask you, and this, as from a woman's standpoint, because I've heard the other podcasts and what they said, either last week or the week before, Robert was having breakfast with Diane, and then Anna came in. We gave Anna the digital portrait, the picture frame with the different pictures. That obviously caused a rift between Robert and Diane, because he went to sit with his ex while they were having breakfast. In that situation, and I see it, they really portrayed Robert as a clueless buffoon in that situation. Instead of saying, hey, I have this thing I want to give to Anna because all of her pictures were lost in the fire, and explaining to Diane what he was doing. He just said, hey, I'll be right back. And he goes over and sits with her and just leaves Diane just kind of up
the line. That could have been better done, but sometimes guys don't have that in their head. They just, like, they don't think about the woman's feelings like that. Because guys see things in, like, black and white, right? Like, boxes. Like us women, we're complicated. We have feelings.
I'll say that again.
True, right? So we think about things, like, a little bit more detailed, like, than men. We're into the details of it all. The men are just like, whatever, I'm just gonna go do this thing. But I mean, I feel like he could have said, hey, he could have at least said, like, hey, I really have something I need to give to Anna, we'll talk later, something.
Yeah,
just something would have been at least nice, so she wasn't like, oh, okay. But it seems like he doesn't have that much regard for her feelings in this relationship to begin with. Like, they're kind of flirting with the idea of having a relationship, but I'm not even taking it seriously because of the way he's just treating Diane. And, like, let's be honest, Diane is, like, a freaking powerhouse queen in her own right. Like, she shouldn't put up with this crap. Like, I wouldn't. I'd go do something else.
Yeah.
I find somebody else that's worth my time, because I'm sorry, Robert's not it. And he's obviously still hung up on Anna or Holly or whoever. You know, I wouldn't be there for that, honestly. But I will say that scene with Robert and Anna was very touching, with the gift he gave her and the digital slideshow memories, and Robin came up on there and I was like, oh, I liked it just for the sentimental value of that whole thing. Like, that was very touching, and Anna cried, and Finola Hughes is obviously, like, phenomenal in those kinds of scenes. So, I mean, it was great to see that moment, but it was, unfortunately, it was at the expense of Diane's feelings.
Yeah, no, I understand completely. I agree. All right. So it looks like we've kind of touched on just about every topic that we've had to over the past couple of weeks in Port Charles. We kind of toyed with doing a couple of different segments for our show, trying to spice it up a little bit. I posted something on X regarding kind of like a caption that type of thing, and nobody put anything under the picture. So we're not going to deal with that. However, one thing I do want to kind of touch on, and I want to bring some realism into the podcast a little bit. And as we end the show, something that I was inspired by, I listened to a podcast called Oh, You Didn't Know with the Road Dog, Jesse James, or Brian G. James, I should say. And what they do at the end of their podcast is what they call the Thankful Minute. And both co-hosts kind of give what they're thankful for that week in 60 seconds. So I'm thinking maybe we could do something like that to kind of bring some realism into the podcast a little bit, kind of get out of the fairy tale area of Port Charles and kind of open the doors a little bit in terms of just bringing that reality into it, just to show that we are real people and not just voices you hear through your phone's earbuds or watch on YouTube. How does that sound?
Sure, you go first. You set the...
All right, well, I will go ahead and set 60 seconds on the clock. And yes, I'm stealing this directly from Oh, You Didn't Know. So 60 seconds on the clock. I'm thankful that, honestly, I've got a lot to be thankful for. I was pissed off at the person that hit my car last week because of the fact that, you know, it was my car and I needed to get it around. And, you know, it was just very difficult for, you know, for the few days I didn't have a car. But what I am thankful for is the fact that nobody got seriously injured. I wasn't in the car. It's a, you know, piece of property that can be replaced and will be replaced. But nobody was seriously injured. And the fact that I had people to help me with the car situation, and the fact that I work in a hotel and I was able to stay on property for, you know, 2 or 3 days between shifts in order to keep it going and keep my job. So that's basically what I'm thankful for. And that's my timer.
Good.
But would you like to go?
Sure. I mean, put me on a timer too. Let's do this.
Post my
table topics. All right, let's go.
All right. 60 seconds on the clock.
I am thankful, first of all, for the opportunity to discuss General Hospital, because this has become one of probably the only safe places I feel like I have to discuss it. Some of you know, who may or may not be listening, that I kind of lost my place on Discord that I used to discuss it in, and that's kind of a loss. And so I felt like I wanted to talk about it. And sometimes, you know, when you say stuff on Twitter about General Hospital, it's not warmly received. So this is a safe place for me to talk about it, because whether or not Vinny and I agree, like, we have a safe place to, you know, vent out our opinions. And I am thankful that for my job, that I get to work from home sometimes, but then I also get to work in an office. And I'm thankful for, of course, my cats, which sometimes you may hear meowing in the background. I'm just thankful that I have breath in my lungs, and I have Jesus as my savior. So that's my 60 seconds probably.
Yep. Yep. The time went off, but Christy, I want to thank you as always. Great episode. For those of you listening on whatever podcast app, or watching on Spotify, or watching on YouTube, definitely click the like button, subscribe, get notified, give us a 5-star review, and go ahead and just give us some feedback. Go over, visit our website, sudsandsquarecircle.com. Go buy our merch. Help us grow. That's all I'm asking. I'm not asking you to personally give money to a Cash App number or a Venmo number, or, you know, I'm asking you to help the podcast grow. I'm helping you to help the network grow. Give us a 5-star review, subscribe, get notified, help us grow. As you could tell, I have a son in college, so it's definitely appreciated. For Christy, got any parting words?
I'm sort of slowly venturing back out on Twitter. Please be kind to me.
Yes. That's all. Let's be better. Let's be kind. Stop the cyberbullying.
Just think before you tweet. Like, try not to.
For Christy, I'm tweet out of. We'll see you next week on Suds News of Suds in the Square Circle. Good night, everybody.
Good night.